The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
So I'd like to invite the children to come forward. And I mean all of you, including those of you who are up to 18 years old. I need you all to come up today. Yeah, all of you. So I brought my backpack with me today, because today we're going to talk about stories. Anybody like stories? I like stories. So I brought a bunch of books up with me. Yeah, we're going to be here for a little bit. So anybody know any of the stories in this book? Anybody seen this book before? All right, okay. Somebody want to take this one and find your favorite story for me? All right. Let's see what other books I have. Oh. Look, I got this book. Anybody ever use this book?
Yes.
All right. Somebody want to take this one and find your favorite story for me? All right. How about this book? Anybody seen this one? You want to take it and find your favorite story for me? All right. How about this book? Oh, yeah, the Lego Bible. There you go. All right, you find your favorite story in that one for me. How about this one?
I found my story.
Oh, pop-up Bible. Who wants the pop-up Bible? Oh, we got one right here. All right. Oh, how about the confirmation Bible? Yeah, there we go. That's somebody's favorite. And I think I got one more in here. Oh, look at this. This is like a comic book Bible. Don't you already have a Bible? Oh, okay. Okay. All right, I think that's all the Bibles I brought up with me. So, we all have heard stories in this Bible, right? In fact, we heard three today. And we heard about this guy named Timothy and this guy named Paul. And Paul basically told these stories to Timothy and passed them down. So what I want you to go do is I want you to go find an adult out there who has told you a Bible story and bring them up with you. All right, go run and find an adult. Go find an adult that's told you a Bible story. Go. Sure, I'll be your adult.
Okay. Here we go.
Go find an adult who sold you a story. Yeah, Lily, I know you know an adult who's told you a story.
Mama and Papa? Grandma and Grandpa?
No.
Sue and Scott?
Lydia, hasn't any adult told you a Bible story? Okay. Oh, Job, that's wonderful. So these adults who are behind you,
and many more that are out there,
and the many more that are even further behind you, right? These are the Pauls of your life. They are telling you the stories, putting the scripture in your hands, and sending you out to tell others. So I want you to look at the Paul in your life, right? And I want you to just tell them thank you. Okay? So let's pray. Everybody ready? Good and gracious God, thank you for the gift of story. Thank you for the gift of the Pauls in our lives. May you help us to hear what they are telling us and help them to hear what we are telling them. Amen. All right, let's put the cushions back and you can go back to your seats. I'll take my Bibles back.
I would have liked to have been able to focus more on Paul and Timothy today. Those of you who have asked for a pet blessing around the time of St. Francis, this gospel may have convinced me that that's what we should do on this weekend instead of this gospel. It's one of those weeks where you kind of say, the gospel of the Lord, really? So anyway, faith is at the heart of what we're talking about this week. And let me pause for a second. Grace and peace to you from God our Savior, and God our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At the heart of our question here in this gospel is, what is faith? What is that all about? And I think, you know, today many of us would struggle to define it. And defining it isn't even necessarily important. It's an abstract concept that, of course, transcends logic. It would be a losing proposition anyway. But we tend to talk about faith in a couple different ways. We think of it as both a measure and a process, right? Like at times we say, I wish I had more faith. But at other times we talk about growing in faith. So it's a dynamic process. And of course the hope is that we don't remain static in our faith because it's an important element in our lives and we hope to continue engaging it and finding greater richness in that engagement. But from our Lutheran perspective and in the scriptures we see today, especially in 2 Timothy, we see faith also not as something we can grow in by our own effort, but as a gift. Faith is a gift from God that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, and faith is that gift from God that receives God's gift of grace. These gifts come to us as we hear the Word of God, and the fact that it comes from outside of us may be why we sometimes struggle with it. It's a gift, not something that we are necessarily expecting, not something that operates according to our own terms or by our own means of understanding. But given what faith makes possible, our scriptures say today, it is an indescribable gift, in a good way. In 2 Timothy, the author writes of faith as the means by which we receive God's grace. Grace, which is also at its heart a free gift given out of God's boundless generosity and love. We hear that God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, which is key to our gospel today, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the ages began, but now has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. There's a lot of that there that is important as we look at our gospel from Luke today. So much of the entire gospel, the good news of God, is carried in this reading. By faith we receive grace, which brings with it liberation from the power of death, which brings salvation, which brings fullness of life, and a calling for how we can live into these gifts and grace. The demands of this calling are not easy, though, as we see in Luke's gospel. The disciples come to Jesus demanding, increase our faith. Why are they saying this? Again, we've lost a bit by not having the context of what just came before it. Jesus has just given the disciples a series of warnings, and he has not been very gentle about it. Jesus has spoken about the inevitability of scandal, not the salacious kind of scandal we think of today, but in its original meaning, something that causes someone to stumble or sin. So Jesus is saying that the disciples have to be wary of not causing scandal or stumbling in the lives of another. Jesus says, woe to anyone who causes this stumbling, that it would be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and be thrown into the sea than to cause any of God's little ones to stumble. And the phrase little ones here probably doesn't mean just children, but anyone struggling to follow and to respond to Jesus' teaching. Anyone who might be turned off to doing so by the misguided example or words of a disciple. But Jesus doesn't stop there. he continues with more tough demands, saying that if another disciple sins, you must rebuke them, and if they repent, you must forgive. He says, and if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. Now, confronting someone who has wronged us and forgiveness on demand, these are not things that we are eager to do. The second is difficult to say the least, and the first we often go to great lengths to avoid. Taken together, the call seems near impossible. So, this is why the disciples are desperate in coming to Jesus and saying, increase our faith. We need this. We are dismayed. There's no way we will be able to do this if you don't give us more faith. But Jesus' response says, you guys just still aren't getting it. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It's not that the disciples need more faith, but that they need to recognize that in their faith, as scholar Alan Culpepper says, faith enables God's work in a person's life in ways that defy ordinary human experience. So they have faith, they're just not really trusting in God's power and promise to work amidst it. Jesus' statement isn't about people or us or the disciples being able to do magic tricks, lifting up mountains and planting them in the sea, but it's an assurance that even with what little faith we have, by God's grace, we can live and follow through on Jesus' teaching and on the call to discipleship. Now we get to the really tough part. The last section is difficult to hear. It's an instance where Jesus appears to accept the convention of slavery, or at least indentured servitude, as a given. He even uses its imagery and practice to teach instead of speaking against it as pointedly as he does so many other things. His words presume that a listener will be familiar with the conventions and practices of slavery at that time and the unequal power dynamics in place. Jesus' question to the disciples presumes that they would answer no. No one would invite a servant to dinner before they've done all their work, before they've served the master. And Jesus turns the image so that the disciples are in the place of the servant or slave, which very disturbingly puts God in the role of slave master. Jesus' last words in this section, I think, are particularly difficult to hear, because if the premise is that the disciples are servants of God and we too are disciples, none of us want to be called or even to think that Jesus would call us worthless slaves. Here's where I pause, and I think it is always important to look at Scripture in its larger context. And I think the prophet Habakkuk is a gift today in the midst of this gospel, because Habakkuk is lamenting the injustices of this world, the ways that keep God's people bound and from fullness of life. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. This lament encapsulates many of our questions and struggles with the world as we know it, the world that is so broken, the world into which Jesus came as it had the conventions and practices of slavery. And it also encapsulates our desire to see greater justice and equity and peace around us. So in regard to this gospel, we recognize through the larger story of Scripture, including Habakkuk, including 2 Timothy, that God's love and faithfulness toward the world call for people's ultimate liberation from all that binds them and the dismantling of systems that oppress and harm God's people. God's response to Habakkuk is the assurance that such a time is coming. The day of God's justice will be realized. And if it seems delayed, we're encouraged to wait and have faith that it will come, but not to take that waiting as license to be complacent. The call of our baptism, we know, is to strive for justice and peace in the world, and our hope is that when we hear a gospel like today's, one that is so unsettling and disturbing at moments, we can take it as further motivation to pay close attention, to be mindful of the systems and the dynamics and the powers that keep people in bondage, and do our part to act in dismantling them. So while today's reading itself seems to be missing an essential element of good news, in these cases the task of our faith is to dig a little deeper and work a little harder until we find what Jesus might actually be saying here, what he might be getting at. And I think if we go far enough, we see an affirmation of what we hear about in 2 Timothy, that at the heart of all the life of faith is the gift of God's grace at the center. There is assurance here that we do not have to rely on our works, we do not have to rely on ourselves earning God's grace in order to receive it. Jesus says that even when a disciple, a servant of God, is asked to follow God's commands, even ones that seem unrealistic, like forgiving someone 7 times a day, they are simply doing what is expected and required of them. Now, that doesn't make us any more hopeful, but in a sense, we know that God is there in the midst of it. Sin is not, if we took sin as an accounting or a balance sheet, no one at all could boast that they are worthy of God's special favor and blessing, since as Paul writes elsewhere, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But our tendency is to want God to reward us for that time when we did forgive someone, as opposed to forgetting all those times when we were reluctant to do so, or those times when we still haven't forgiven that person who wronged us. But again, this is the broken world at work in us, ingraining in us the notion that we have to work hard to earn everything we get, to earn everything we have, and it makes our relationship with God even about earning it and what we are worth instead of what God has given us. But at the heart of this is that God does not play this game, who is worthy of God's favor and who isn't. God does not play a game, but God's favor and blessing come by grace alone. We are assured that it cannot be earned. They are poured out by God's gracious and generous providing. And so in the end, Jesus is calling for humility before God, not saying, God, this is what you owe me, but God, thank you for all you have done for me, and in grateful response, I will respond to your call. The second section ties back, I think, to the beginning of the reading in affirming that it is not more faith that we need. When we cause problems for others, causing them to stumble, so to speak, when we fail to address the harmful behavior of a sibling in Christ, when we refuse to forgive, these are not to be taken lightly. And a healthy understanding of faith would allow us to trust in God's grace. At the midst of it, we know these things are going to happen. But trusting in God's grace allows us to rely on God's loving willingness to forgive when we mess up and be freed to do better the next time. Be freed to engage once again instead of pulling back from community, instead of pulling back from relationship, instead of living into the brokenness, instead of living into the grace. In the end, as we see in 2 Timothy, faith is about trusting in God's promises, especially that promise of grace and life for us and for all God's people. That is the life that comes through the cross, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ who made himself vulnerable and gave of himself so that others might know and have life. There at the cross, we see and recognize that at the heart of this life of discipleship is vulnerability, a call to recognize it and a call to embrace it as Jesus did. For when we're mindful of the vulnerability of others, when we're willing to be vulnerable ourselves in addressing pain and suffering, in offering forgiveness, we find that we may live together in healthier relationship and in stronger community, seeking to ensure that ultimately no one is left behind or left bound by their circumstances. God's grace, God's loving forgiveness poured out abundantly and received by faith, regardless of whether or not we've done enough, allows us to be bold in this manner of discipleship, trusting that this gift of grace at the heart of it all, will uplift us, will sustain us, and will renew us in the good treasure of faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.